We're elated to have the members here, even though we have some that are sick and some that are working. And we're elated to have visitors as well who we know, but we're glad to see them again. And we're thankful that we're able to be here this morning. We'll hold this first slide for just a moment. You see the topic, which we hope to preach today and again, Lord willing, next Sunday. Today being June 30, 2013, and we're preaching from Brooklyn, New York, as we are assembled as the Central Brooklyn Church of Christ. But I mention that because our topic is regarding our homosexuality and homosexual marriage pleasing to God. And we have our subtitle that what is often pleasing to humanity is, or what is pleasing to humanity is often displeasing to God. And we preach this lesson as we're beginning to preach it this Sunday morning. Just across the river in Manhattan, they are preparing for the Gay Pride Parade, which unfortunately occurs every year. And they are shamelessly and riotously displaying themselves as something that should be normal in society. And so in the backdrop of that, which so many are deceived by, and in the backdrop of the state of New York saying that homosexual marriage is legal, that has been that way, I think, for over a year now, and in that backdrop, we want to proceed with our lesson, which comes from the Word of God, which we, as children of God, are supposed to uphold and follow, and which those who would become children of God must believe and follow. Homosexuals tell us, along with others, that they were born gay, as they put it, and I only use it because they use it, but that should be the last time I will use that word. I will instead use the word homosexual. But they tell us they were born homosexual, that they really don't have a choice, and their sympathizers also tell us that and try to even add some type of scientific evidence to tell us that, well, we were born that way. Educators, of which I am one, at least licensed to be a teacher in the public schools, but lapsed for a long time, that license, but that is my background. Educators brainwash our children into believing that homosexuality is normal, moral lifestyle, that it shouldn't be condemned. And that is one of the reasons that our young people come out not knowing what the right or left is regarding homosexuality, using our own tax money against us. This nation has brainwashed a generation or more of children and continues to do so with pride. Politicians and judges, they pass laws and they make rulings endorsing homosexuality and legalizing what they call same-sex marriage. And even some of these politicians are heartily accepted by denominations such as Catholic and Protestant groups, even though they are doing the most despicable and vile things by doing what they're doing in the public realm, but they are accepted as members in good standing in the denominations in the Catholic Church, these judges and politicians. Even recently, people in some states in the United States have voted to legalize same-sex marriage, as they call it. Some religious leaders are endorsing same-sex marriage, such as Rob Bell, who was formerly the founder of Mars Hill Church, a big denomination in Michigan. What Mr. Bell says is, quote, "I am for fidelity," that is loyalty in a marriage. "I am for love, whether it's a man and a woman and a man and a man," end quote. And I don't have this on the slide, but I'm going to say it, that this president we have will go down in history. Not in a good way, but he will go down in history as one who champions homosexual marriage, along with every other politician and judge that follows behind. And they may receive the approval of people, even many who claim to be Christians, unfortunately. But God's approval is another matter. That is another matter. And that is defined by the Word of God, not by political power grabbing and how defiled a community can become that would accept such things. This is defined by the Word of God. The Scriptures reveal that homosexuality is displeasing to God. It's a sinful choice. It's a violation of God's law. That's what the Scriptures say. So I'm faced with a choice whether I will believe the so-called experts that tell me people are born homosexual, or whether I believe the one who created all humanity and all things, who tells me that it is sinful, that it is a violation of God's will. It's a choice that we make. That we make. That turns into a habit and turns into something maybe we would call an addiction, but whatever it is, it's a choice. Whether it be continual or whatever, and it's a violation of God's law. The Scriptures also reveal that God has created marriage as an exclusive union involving only male and female. Did you hear that, Mayor Bloomberg? Governor Cuomo? Judge Kennedy? President Obama? That God, not you, created marriage as a union for only male and female. So what do? In these dark times, we consider what the Scriptures say, and we don't shrink back from speaking as the Bible speaks on all things, including homosexuality and homosexual so-called marriage. So with that in mind, let us proceed. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Following our own guidance is where we always find ourselves displeasing God. And let me put it like this. A nation that endorses the teaching of evolution and that denies that God is the creator of all, of course that nation is going to turn to idolatry and immorality, because the stage has been set for years and years and years, and now the fruit of it is being manifest. What has our nation done? It's turned away from God. It denies God as the Creator. In our schools, our children are told that there is no God. God is not the Creator of anything. Things just happened. They just happened in some way. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God. Do you see honor being given to God today? No, it's given to man. And then I hear our leader going around saying that our greatest danger is what he calls climate change. Let me tell you who changes the climate. God, who created the sun, the moon, the stars, the waters, the weather, and all of it. And you don't have one thing to do with it. These people are delusional. And they're not only delusional, they're idolaters, ascribing power to themselves that they in no way have. Power to determine what is moral, immoral. Power to determine how the climate, well, we can prevent the climate from changing. I just hope that we could prevent this unrighteousness from going forward. That's our greatest danger. What did he say? For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That's what we're looking at, foolishness on parade, literally in Manhattan in just a few minutes with the Gay Pride Parade, and all of the politicians, educators, judges, and teachers, and anybody who accepts the foolishness that somehow homosexuality is moral and normal. Because they've darkened their minds from the wisdom of God. They've denied God being the Creator. So you know they're going to deny the nature of marriage. You know they're going to deny the nature of humanity, male and female. It's right here. It's right in the Word of God long, long ago. And exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. What did he say? To impurity. Somebody said, well, homosexuality, No, it's impurity. Along with all other forms of fornication. It's impurity. So that their bodies would be dishonored among them. It's shameful. There's no pride in it. And yet the politicians will be marching right in front. And the Christians all up and down Flatbush Avenue here will vote for the same politicians who march right down in front and say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But you vote for people that hate Jesus and hate everything the Word of God teaches. For they exchange the truth of God for a lie. I was born homosexual. Lie. Homosexuality is normal. Lie. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Anybody that encourages them to believe the lie, they exalt and they adore and they bow down to. The Scriptures are God's only source for guidance. When we guide ourselves, we follow two roads. One road is idolatry, the other road is immorality. But the Scriptures are the only source that we have that can lead us to faith in the Lord Jesus and living the Christian life, the sanctified life that He would have us lead. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, that is, complete, equipped for every good work, everything I need to know about how to become a Christian and how to live a Christian life is right in the Word of God. I don't need to go to any man, woman, or anybody to tell me how to live a Christian life. The Scripture already has all the answers. So faith comes from hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And anything that is not of Scripture, that is not of the Word of God, will not lead me to faith, but it will lead me away from God. Galatians 1 and verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. That's why we get so disturbed about denominational teaching, because I can't read what you're telling me in the Word of God. You want me to accept this, that, and the other? Just let me read it in the Word of God. I don't need you to tell me. Let me read it. And if I can't read it in context, that this is what I should do, then I leave it alone. I get away from it. That's why I'm not a member of the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church. Why not, Gary? Are you a bigot? Do you have a prejudice against Baptists and Methodists? No. I just can't read that that's what the Lord would have me be. He didn't tell me I could do it or that I should do it. He told me that I should be called a Christian, a saint, a child of God, a sheep in His flock. Can't we just leave it at that? Instead of exalting our human wisdom, oh, I'm a Baptist. Who told you? The Scriptures didn't tell you. They didn't tell you. So we leave it alone. We stay away from it. And in regard to homosexuality, the Scriptures tell us the opposite of what people are telling us today. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 19 before the law of Moses. God condemns homosexuality. The city of Sodom, from which sodomy and the other names come, from describing those sexual acts that displeases the Lord, and still does today. Genesis 19 and verse 1, during the time of Abraham, his nephew Lot, of course, went to Sodom with his family. But God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom. Genesis 19 and verse 1, now the two angels came to Sodom, coming from Abraham, in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night, and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Maybe the weather was pleasant enough. They said, we'll just stay outside in the public square. Yet, he urged them strongly that they should turn aside to him and entered his house. He knew what Sodom was like and what happened there at night. And he urged them to come in, and they did. He prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them." Can you imagine? That we may have homosexual relations with them. It shows you the depravity of Sodom and the neighboring Gomorrah. Somebody says, "Oh, Gary, that's just talking about forced homosexuality. Well, we'll see about it. We'll see about that. But let's read it. Verse 6, "But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, 'Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof.'" Now we can wonder why the same shelter of his roof was not extended to his daughters. But I don't have time for that. It would be speculation. But it tells me that Lot was mixed up. Offering his daughters. No man who loved his daughters would do that. But I'll leave that alone. "But they said, 'Stand aside.' Furthermore, they said, 'This one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them.' So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. The angels intervened, and Lot's house was spared." In fact, Lot himself was spared, because in verse 24 we read, "Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." How's that for climate change? How about that climate change? Does that sort of change it? Anybody who believes that what we breathe out of our mouths, carbon dioxide, that makes the temperature go up, has got to be delusional. And they are. And they are. They don't really believe it. They just think we're too stupid to believe it. But that's another part. But there's your climate change. That God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven, and the city was consumed. And all that were in it, with Lot and his family, except for his wife who looked back, turned into a pillar of salt, they escaped. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities. And, hold on. And he overthrew all the cities and what grew on the ground. And so it was a total destruction. Now, did God destroy those cities with such a complete destruction and miraculous destruction because, oh, Gary, it was just about homosexual rape at the... No. Even before the angels came into Sodom, God spoke to Abraham. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. "And the Lord said, 'The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave.'" Even before these men got in there, The Lord already decreed their homosexuality and other sexual sins were already to be judged. Abraham pleads with God because of his nephew that is in the city. And in verse 32, Abraham says, if you find 10 righteous there, will you spare the city? Then he said, Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 10. You see how loving, how patient, how merciful God is. If there had been 10 souls in that city who would have displayed righteousness and stood against those things and not participated in those things or approved those, if there had only been 10, he would have spared the city. How many came out of that city? 3. I believe Lot and his 2 daughters, if I remember right. Somebody can double check it later. But at least Lot and his daughters. There wasn't 10 that stood for what was right and that were trying to please God. And God destroyed it. Gary, was it just about homosexual rape? No. In Jude, at verse 7, the only chapter in the book of Jude, verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality, that is fornication, and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire, but they went after strange flesh. It wasn't about just homosexual rape. That was another part of their sin. It was about the act of homosexuality and other forms of fornication altogether. They were misusing their bodies as God had not intended. And to such a level that all the righteousness was drained out of that city, those cities, and God destroyed them with fire and brimstone from heaven. You think Sodom would have wanted a gay pride parade? Of course they would. Of course. Certainly. They would want something of that magnitude. They might have had something on that magnitude. But God put it all to a stop. Not only before the law of Moses, but during the law of Moses, God condemns homosexuality. Leviticus 18 and verse 21, reading from what the Jews call the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Leviticus 18 and verse 21, you shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech. That is the idol where you sacrifice, you murder your child by throwing them into a fiery statue with a furnace in the stomach. Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. What did he say? Did he say rape? No. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. So today it's not the gay pride parade, it is the abomination parade. That's what it is. The abomination parade. Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Why did God have to write such things about all of this? Well, this is why. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become normal. They become normal. They become defiled. They become defiled. We are defiled as a nation. If you don't know that, then you don't know much about the Word of God. We are defiled. How long the Lord will allow us to be defiled in the way that we're going, I don't know. But that we are defiled, that is clear. That is clear. Leviticus 20 and verse 13, if there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them should have the right to marriage equality. Is that what he said? Both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. And I believe somebody can double check this, but I believe the old King James and the King James may say, instead of cult prostitutes, they say sodomites, if I remember right. 1 Kings 14 and verse 24, even hundreds of years after Moses wrote what we just read, there were also male, 1 Kings 14:24. There were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nation which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. So even hundreds of years down the road, there were sodomites in Jerusalem and surrounding parts because the people just didn't follow the law of God. What is happening today? Now you want to go so far as legitimizing what you call same-sex marriage, homosexual marriage? And then if I'm an employer, I have to acknowledge you as being married if you're my employees? We're in trouble. We are in the deepest trouble that I have seen in my lifetime as a nation. And for now, it doesn't look like we're turning back anytime soon. In the New Testament, God condemns homosexuality. Romans 1, back to the passage where they turn away from God and God lets them go their own way. Romans 1 and verse 26, out of the foolishness of man, what does he decide to do? Romans 1:26, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. What did God say? It's unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Can you get any plainer than that? And then we have religious leaders. We expect it from the cowardly, power-hungry politicians and judges. But from the religious leaders that say they stand from the Word of God, then you get up and you want to convince the people that this is acceptable in God's sight? When the Scriptures say it's unnatural, that it's sinful, and that it's a product of dishonoring and being ungrateful to God and rebellious against God, that's what it's a product of? Romans 1:28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Not intellectual enlightenment, a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. God condemns homosexuality. Not only does he condemn homosexuality, he condemns all forms of fornication, of sexual immorality. Whether it be premarital sex among a man and a woman, whether it be adultery, that is, sexual relations with someone that's not the spouse, God condemns all of it, and homosexuality. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? What did he say? The unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators. That takes in everybody. Everybody who commits sexual sins, that is, has sexual activity that is outside of scriptural marriage between a man and a woman. Even some marriages between men and women that the denominations accept and that society accepts are not accepted in God's sight. We'll get to that next week, Lord willing, when we speak more about the Bible and homosexual marriage. But right now this, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that is the passive homosexual, nor homosexuals, that is the active aggressive homosexual, nor thieves. Did you hear that, politicians? Nor thieves, business people, nor thieves. Whoever takes something that is not theirs or misuses it, thieves. Or just your garden variety thief. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor the covetous. Don't go around desiring other people's stuff. The politicians want you to because that makes you indebted to them. But it'll send us straight to hell if we desire other people's stuff. That's covetousness. That's covetousness. Wanting what other people have. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. God condemns homosexuality in the New Testament. It's sinful, along with all of these other sins that we have noted. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person but for those who are lawless and rebellious, or the ungodly, and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, and immoral men and homosexuals, and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, with which I have been entrusted, but homosexuality again condemned. Again it is condemned. You think there will be a prayer before the gay pride parade? Maybe a religious leader will lead it. It is indeed despicable. And it is shameful. And it is destructive. Not only to the people who do it, but also to the nation who endorses it. Somebody says, well, Gary, Jesus didn't say anything against homosexuality. Well, he said a lot against fornication. And homosexuality is included in fornication along with adultery, incest, bestiality, and every other kind that we can think of sexual sin. But Jesus said also that he didn't say everything that he that was his complete will while he was on the earth. He said the Holy Spirit would come and guide the apostles into what he wanted them to say. And they, in the name of Jesus, condemn homosexuality in a completely clear manner. John 16 and verse 12, Jesus said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That was a promise to the apostles, not to me. I don't need to have direct guidance from the Holy Spirit, because everything the Spirit guided them to say, they wrote down so that I can read it. So that I can read today what the Spirit guided them, that truth that the Spirit guided them to speak and write. They are the ones who needed direct guidance, and they got it. Into revealing, he revealed the complete will of Jesus, the New Testament. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose to you. He will take of mine and will disclose to you, and that includes condemnation of homosexuality that we have and that we've read in the New Testament. What do we do? Do we compromise? Do we keep silent? Do we act like it doesn't matter? No. We speak out against homosexuality and all sins. Romans 1 and verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Many Christians either give their approval, oh, I wouldn't do that, but it's all right for you to do that. We're going to be condemned for that attitude if we have it. That will be one of the things that condemns us. We cannot approve of that which God disapproves, which God says is sin. What are we going to do? Not only speak out against it, but encourage those who are involved in these things, these sins, to turn from these sins and become a Christian, which is our only hope to be saved by the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, speaking about the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, such were some of you, adulterers, swindlers, homosexuals, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, set apart, but you were justified, freed from guilt, acquitted of guilt, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the Spirit of our God. And the sad part is that so many who would want to turn from these things and become Christians are told the wrong thing by our denominational friends. They're told to pray the sinner's prayer, not in the Word of God. They're told to wait for the Spirit to come upon them, not in the Word of God. They're told many things that are not in the Word of God, but this is in the Word of God. When they cried out, what shall we do? When they knew they were guilty of rebelling against God, even crucifying the Lord Jesus. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, change your mind about your sins, and each of you be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, or the forgiveness of your sins. Not because you're already saved, but in order to be saved. Somebody says, well, Gary, that's trying to earn your salvation. You argue with God about that. I'm reading you from the Word of God. You get in a dispute with God about your theory about baptism being a work rather than an act of faith. You dispute that with God because I'm reading from His Word. And this is what God says. Each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to be forgiven of your sins. Not because you're already saved, in order to be saved. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is that promised salvation that Peter just spoke about to the crowd of thousands, and 3,000 souls about on that day repented and were baptized. There was no sinner's prayer said on that day of the first preaching of the gospel or on any day where the gospel was preached by the apostles. And then finally, we must repent of our sins after we have begun that new life. Maybe we've turned from those sins, including homosexuality. But we fall back into sin after becoming a Christian. Then what should we do? We must repent of our sins and pray for mercy to remain faithful. This is what the Christian is told to do. And this is what we tell one another to do from the Word of God, like Peter told Simon the sorcerer, who had already been baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, but had coveted the gift of God and was sinning. And now, Peter said, Acts 8 and verse 22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. That is where we're going to have to stop, but that is the promise of the Lord to those who are already children of God, that we repent, that we turn, that we pray, and that by the blood of Jesus He will forgive us, that we might continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Why not turn from the corruption of the world today and become a child of God? Turn that you might be forgiven of your sins, including homosexuality or anything else. We may think homosexuality is the, quote, worst sin, but the sins that will condemn us are any sin that we don't repent of. If we're willing to repent, put our trust in the Lord to cleanse us by His blood and submit to baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, we can begin a new life, learning to walk according to His will rather than our own. Why not this morning make that decision and come, or those children of God, that we continue to repent if we're already Christians and pray that the Lord may forgive us, that we may continue to have opportunity to grow. We're going to encourage any within the sound of our voice that would desire to become a Christian today or be restored back to the Lord, that you come now as we acknowledge that the gospel is the only way to be saved, that is given by God revealed in the Scriptures. If anyone is subject to the gospel invitation, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.